listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, what is it, September 12th, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly is here with us as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Kind of gets us on the right track and reminds us of what they are. The first one is do no harm, do right. We're going to be talking about that one tonight. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you can find the expanded version of these 9 principles of belief on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we'd like to welcome all those listening to the live broadcast tonight. We have quite a few folks in the chat room, which is good to see. We also welcome those of you who are listening to the archives. We appreciate your time, too. All right, so tonight we're going to be talking about the dark side of doing good. Now, if you are a student, one of our students, and have completed, especially at IMHS, if you've completed course B1 or at TFU, if you've completed course G50, you kind of have a little bit of an inkling of what we're talking about. Now, the first of our 9 principles of belief is do no harm, do right. And we stress that extensively in our curriculum. It's the foundation principle of really of everything we believe and everything we do. And the thing that metaphysics, especially in our schools, draws an awful lot of students who want to help, who want to be part of that solution and not part of the problem. They have a genuine desire to help other people and their fellow man, fellow woman, and that's great. Those are all excellent. And we need more of them. And so, obviously, the idea of doing no harm and doing right is strong with these students. And so that's a good thing, you know, to do no harm, but to do right, you know, it's often not enough to just do no harm. I mean, we could do no harm by just standing by and watching somebody hurt somebody else. We're not doing any harm. So that's where the do right comes into play. We also have to do right. We have to be active. We have to take action and do the right thing. But there is an inherent danger in not having a healthy perspective on doing right or doing good. And that's what I call the dark side of doing good. And it's not a real hard concept. Basically, the dark side of doing good is when we want to help so much, and it's a genuine, usually a genuine feeling. We really want to help other people. And what can happen is that we end up violating their boundaries. We basically end up trying to control them. We end up giving them unsolicited advice. And that's the dark side of doing good. And it's interesting to me that I even see indicators from past students, you know, who have forgotten this. And I'll tell you, I emphasize this whole concept, the law of control. which is you can't control people. You can't change people. Stop trying. If you try to change somebody, it's going to only lead to one conclusion, and that is the relationship's not going to last. You can't control people. You can't change people. For the love of all that's holy and good, stop trying. You can't control people. So that means not giving unsolicited advice, no matter what place it comes from within you, that place of love and caring and all that. You want to help so bad, but we don't want to overstep our bounds. Dr. Hunter, any comments? I'll take a break while you...
Well, this is a tough one because we all want to extend ourselves to other people to some degree. I think a discussion might be a safer kind of thing rather than, oh, you should try this. You know, as soon as somebody says you should do this, I just give it to them to do. That's my kind of approach to it. Like, don't tell me what I should do. I find it really offensive. What I find inviting is somebody saying, oh, well, you know, I heard of, or here's an indication of, or that, you know, having a discussion, and I say, wow, I didn't know about that. Can you tell me more? Because when you extend yourself in a more open way, it invites people into discussion as opposed to pointing the finger and trying to have control, because I think that's really what it all nails down to. But we all have to check in with our own behavior. Mm-hmm. Like, it's we all do it. This is the problem. This is why it's a touchy subject. We all do it. And then when we wake up to what we're doing, it appears as though we're not interested. And it's just learning language and learning to communicate better, because it's learning to be when to be a good listener, when to know when to inject an idea or ask a question for more information. Because usually when people give advice, it's based on the minuscule amount of information. And then they leap to, oh, I know how to fix that. Do you see? And, yep. And this is where asking questions and being interested and having, I don't know, an exchange of information and knowledge.
And that brings up a good question, okay? And a lot of times when I say don't give unsolicited advice, and then let me just expand that a little bit because it'll lead into where I'm going. I also tack on to this with parents who have adult children. And parents with adult children can be especially bad at trying to control their children. Why? They love them. They don't want them to go through the same hardships and all the bad things they may have experienced due to inexperience and just not knowing their way in the world. So they try, and they give unsolicited advice to their adult children. If that is what you are doing as a parent with adult children, stop it. You had your chance. You raised them. They're now adults. You went through the same thing. You know, they have to learn their lessons just like any one of us did at that age. All of us did. So parents with adult children, stop running their lives. Stop trying to run their lives. Stop giving them unsolicited advice. Now, here's the point. Does that mean you can't share a concern? No, that's not what it means. Yes, you can share a concern if you ask, can I share a concern with you? If they say no, then you shut up and you let it go because it's their path, their life. Stop trying to control them. Stop telling them what they should or shouldn't do. It's not your responsibility any longer. So let's expand a little bit on the sharing of a concern. You can share a concern with somebody you care about. You ask, can I share a concern? Can I share a thought with you about that if they bring it up? They may not have said, hey, what would you do? But they say, you know, I'm just facing all this stuff. Can I share what worked for me? Can I share a concern? Whatever it is, but you ask politely, and if they agree, then you share it. And that's all you do. You don't try to ram it down their throat. You don't try to manipulate them into doing it. You offer it. You put it out on the table. It's up to them to grab onto it and take it if they want it. Let's kind of segue a little bit into another aspect of this law of control. You don't change people. You don't control people. You don't give unsolicited advice. Now, there are situations where it's assumed that you do, you know, for example, a teacher who has a student. Well, it's implied. If you're a teacher giving advice to a student, they may not have asked for it, but you're a teacher. They've basically come to you. They've either are part of your classroom or, in our case, they've paid to learn from us. So there are times when I will give advice to my students because that's what they're there for. That's the roles we play. A boss is another role. A boss may give unsolicited advice to an employee about doing their job. But even bosses have got to keep that in check because they don't want to get into the area of personal stuff, you know, how the person should live their life or anything, at least not offering it unsolicited. So I've had people say, well, gee, you're telling me not to give unsolicited advice. Isn't that giving unsolicited advice? I'm not going to go into that because I don't care. If you're here listening to me, then it's implied that I can give you unsolicited advice because it's something that you and we think is beneficial or should. Any comments?
Well, I'd say that at that point it would be solicited if you're...
It is.
You know, going to the broadcast. So solicited advice.
It is.
Well, when I have clients, I give advice.
Yeah, that's another thing, spiritual counselors.
I make suggestions, and I'm careful how I word that, too. If I intuitively see a red flag in my head that says, and indicates to me there's potential risk here, I say, look, I don't do this very often, but I'm going to strongly suggest you go in this direction instead because I see a red flag there. You know, but what you do with that then is up to you. You know, if we shift gears here a little bit, Dr. Gayla had mentioned about she's only just learning to set her boundaries with a parent, which, see, that's a good subject where, you know, turning it around, how do you then stand your ground with somebody who's the authority figure?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a client years ago, she said to me, I'm 65 years old. Every time I'm around my mother, I turn into a child. And it's just kind of funny coming from her because her, you know, she was taking care of her mother. And it's, I don't think it's just about boundaries. I think it's that how we view each other and be able to distinguish our roles and our part. Because we're all human beings, we're all equal. And yet somebody does. A parent obviously has more and different experience. They've got, like, obviously 20 or more years on you. If somebody in authority is telling you what to do with intention to control, you can feel that. You know that there's an intention to control here as opposed to an intention that's caring. And in that case, you can look at the authority figure and say, I really appreciate your concern. I really appreciate what you're saying. It's kind of like a teacher telling a high school student, you must get a post-secondary education and banging, I hear stuff, and you know, banging on them to what they have to do with their life to get a good life. It's fair then for the student to say, thank you very much, I appreciate the advice, and let it go and recognize that everybody's just got their issues and nothing good is going to come of pursuing that except to say thank you for the advice. But still recognize that they're people with issues.
Right.
And somebody's taking their authority just a little too far. But again, that if the relationship is like with a parent or somebody in a family who's older and that authority figure, in my view, it's fair enough to say, thank you very much. I appreciate your concern for me. I just do things differently. And I have to process this differently in my own way. If somebody insists to be an authoritarian with intent to control, I think it's fair to say, that's kind of controlling. And you have free will, I have free will, and we have to get on the same page. So that's kind of where I go with that one.
And Tad made a good comment in the chat room. A good parent tries to work themselves out of a job. We have to get them ready to be on their own. I think that's well put.
Yes.
You know, that's the job of any good parent, to work yourselves out of a job. And so when you have adult children, if they're not coming to you for advice, then that's just the nature of it. It is what it is. Remember, this is a huge point. We're all on our own path. Just because they're your child, even though they're an adult now, they're on their own path. You know, your job is essentially done if they're not coming to you for advice. So you got to let them skin their knees, get bruised here and there, so that they can learn the life lessons necessary to have a good life. We all had to do that. We've all gone through it, and many of us continue to go through it. But, you know, the older you get, hopefully the less often it happens. But we still have many, many life lessons. So this is all the dark side of doing good. We may have good intentions. We may have a very caring heart and soul, but we have to recognize our boundaries and not encroach on the other person's boundary, because when we give unsolicited advice, we are assuming responsibility for that other adult, and that is irresponsible. We don't have the right to assume responsibility for another adult. So when we try to change somebody, when we try to control somebody, we're assuming responsibility, and that is a travesty. You can't do that. Honey, are you sure you should eat that second piece of cake?
Well,
really?
First of all, if you said honey to me, I would cringe.
Yeah.
And I don't like terms of endearment, because they're demeaning, I think, unless you're in a really intimate relationship with somebody and that's your deal. Or if it's your kids, or like I call my grandkids my munchkins, you know, those kind. But that honey business, that's automatically putting you at a different level.
For you. But that's not true of everybody. And many people don't have a problem, but you do. So if anybody's going to be in a relationship with you, they would obviously learn that, and they wouldn't use that in the first place.
Oh,
but
yeah,
the point of my illustration was not honey. It was, hey, you with the face. Do you think you really should eat that second piece of cake? See, I'm trying to control somebody, and that's not it. And there's all kinds of these things in marriages today, where one is trying to control the other. You know, I've seen this so many times. You know, where there's the man's got a bunch of, you know, maybe he's an alcoholic or he's got a drinking problem, and you know, she's there to change him. She's there to show him with love that he can work through anything, and that's just unrealistic.
You know, it's really interesting. It reminds me of a conversation that I had with an old friend I hadn't seen for a couple of decades. And having a conversation on the phone, he was telling me of somebody he knew whose car was a real mess, and he told her she should clean that up. And I said, wow, I said, do you really, like, if she wants a car mess, who cares? Well, she should. And I said, oh, yikes. You know, I said, I think there's a point where we just have to mind our own business. That's like, it's not your car. What do you care? And he said, you're really hard to get along with. There's thunder and lightning, I think, at your house, Dr. Kelly.
yes, there is. I'm sorry. It just gets pretty loud. I'm trying to mute my mic when I see it coming on. But.
He said, you just know who you are. You'd be really hard to be in a relationship with. I said, I don't think so. Yeah, of course I know who I am. And yes, but you know, you know what you like and what you don't like. And I said, yeah, doesn't everybody? You know, the thing is, some people are not accustomed to that. If you know who you are and you're very centered in yourself, and that doesn't present as controlling other people, but they can feel that way. Because I don't like cranberries, all right? So somebody who's insecure is automatically going to think that, oh, they shouldn't have cranberries. No, I don't care if you have cranberries. You see, so we have to watch also that sometimes we can feel emotional, insecure, or have our own issues that we think other people are telling us what to do when we're not, when they're not. That's not the case at all. So we have to really check in with ourselves, I think. Like when somebody does call me honey or dear, the hair on the back of my neck stands up for one thing. But I overlook that, hopefully, to listen to what they're going to say. And especially in the store, you know, you're buying something and they say, oh, hello, dear. And you know you're old, right? You know right away, okay, this is the senior department. It's all when they call you dear. But it's sometimes that's just people's way of softening something, or that's their way of being with people. And like I say, they all have their issues. But insecurities will absolutely give the impression people are giving advice when they're not, or asserting control. So that's something else I think to check in with.
All right, good. Well, yes, it's thundering here. In fact, I had it muted and it sounded like somebody... Well, that did sound like a gunshot. So, anyway, hopefully some of these points resonate with you. And at least, if nothing else, are a good reminder of the dark side of doing right. So we want to make sure that we're not trying to control or giving unsolicited advice. And Patrick in the chat said something with that idea of free advice is exactly worth exactly what we pay for it. Yes, sometimes that's true. But anyway, so let's switch gears here and let's go to our inner oracle cards.
I have to say, though, Michael said the thunder simply emphasizes our points. It's like the gods are speaking. That's awesome.
Right. That's the equivalent of having three or four exclamation points.
Yeah. Great.
All right, so if you'd like a card pulled, please put your name in the chat room. The Inner Oracle cards are simply a set of deck of cards that we've created with tons of nuggets and points, and they're designed to get you thinking. They're self-discovery cards. And so if you would like a card pulled for you, just put your name in the chat room, and we will do that. And it looks like we've got a couple, starting with Patrick.
Well, Patrick, perfection. Now, that's number one in all of the cards. And that's one of the first things that is in the IMHS program, TFU program. Always remember that you're perfect just the way you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow's changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they're vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully. And I guess that's the first lesson each of us does learn. Life is cause and effect. We're a sum of all of our experience, our DNA, cellular memory, it goes on and on and on. And we have this consciousness that allows us to awaken greater to ourselves, and that being a perfect work of in progress. So in whatever way that you feel that might relate to you tonight, Patrick, a good reminder for all of us, though.
All right.
Michael, do you want to pick a card for Tad, please?
Of course, and I've picked number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate an increased awareness in some areas needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Good one. Edward, we have continuity of life for you, number 16. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome, in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You're a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin. Ominous. I like that. You're in a shift, I think. Okay, Michael, Sherry, and then she would also like one for her daughter, Kim. So maybe you'd like to pull those two cards.
Absolutely. All right. For Sherry, I've pulled number 5, Line of Control.
Really?
Absolutely. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says that you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
You know, I was wondering if we were going to pull that card tonight before the program even started. It's interesting.
It is. I always wait until the moment when I'm about to read it before I pull it, just to try to get a good feel.
What number was that?
For number 5. And for Kim, I have number 36, Gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
I really like that one. That's I love that graciousness word, you know, to be gracious. Mm-hmm. I love that. Great.
I've always said that the pure joy we get from gratitude is one of the, saving graces of human nature.
It is. I like that, Michael. Good. Dr. Gala, I got number 11 for you, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. So this card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
It's interesting that that card was pulled twice by two different people, for two different people.
I love it. By the way, I heard a quote from Elon Musk that I really want to share with everybody. I would rather be optimistic and wrong than pessimistic and right. Got to think about that for a second. When we're optimistic and wrong, that's how, and he says it's the journey. But if you're pessimistic and always pessimistic and then you're right, well, you just missed out on all the joy you could have had. I love that saying. I just thought it was appropriate to mention. Ellie is next. Michael?
All right, Ellie. I've pulled number 7, Self-Mastery. I have a good theme going here. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery towards the path of self-completeness. And I think that's a perfect card, especially to keep in mind when somebody is trying to give you unsolicited advice.
It is. Now I have Taz. Taz, I pulled number 35. That's interesting. And sometimes, again, these are just little reminder cards for us. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It's critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality toward others as well as ourselves. Remember, you're of divine energy. So in whatever respect, you can relate to that, Taz. So, anybody else on there?
Yeah, we actually, I believe, I know Dr. Jeff definitely would like one. I want to see if we have anybody else that was
Darlene
after. Dr.
Darlene pulled number 15.
Ah, yes, of course. And as you said, Dr. Darlene pulled number 15. Dr. Hunter, would you like me to read that, or do you have it?
No, go ahead. I have it open, but you go ahead, Michael, please.
All right. So number 15 is belief system knowledge base. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
Yes, indeed. It's inside. Everything we need to know is inside.
Okay, and then the last one is Dr. Jeff.
You know, and I pulled two at the same time, and they both popped out together. I can't tell you which is first, but number 3 and number 31. So number 3 is be who you are and walk your own path, and number 31 is sacred obligations. So, I guess there is a relationship there. First of all, you're a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself. Now, moving to sacred obligations, it's a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right. We were talking about it tonight. Pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change. And we're only laughing, Jeff, because I know you came into the chat late. We were discussing this very thing at the beginning of the program. So evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness. Promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations. You know, Dr. Kelly, Michael, I think that that's really kind of extraordinary that we pulled that, because our discussion at the beginning of, you know, when it can be, if we're doing no harm, doing right, and when doing right can kind of backfire on you. And that's my cat. So your storm, my cat.
And, two storms. And,
yes, it is. Actually, and it's raining here now, too. So
it's raining here, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of things going on. And this is the point when we come on to the show. You know, I'm in Canada, BC, you're in Florida, everybody's across the country, and that's really powerful about how we can be in such different areas coming together into one connection. And that's an entanglement all on its own. And we're all just people in our lives sitting in our houses, you know, got things going on. And I think it's really cool.
All right. Good point.
Taz says it's snowing where she is, and yeah. And there's areas up here that are snowing too. Crazy. So it's got storms and rain and sunshine and snow. It's kind of I don't know. It's just neat.
Any final comments, son?
You know, I think a big part of not giving unsolicited advice is just having healthy communication habits, and that's really a foundation. And I think we talked about a lot of good strategies for having healthy communication.
Good points. Well, it's been a lot of good points on this program, as usual, and so hopefully you found something that remind you of something or something new you learned and you can apply in your life to have a better life, healthier relationships. And we appreciate you being here. So with that, we're going to start wrapping things up here. And sorry for the thunder and the different sound effects here. We did that on purpose, you know.
Yes, of course.
Here comes another one.
That was a good
one. Let's see if I can turn up the filter in my aquarium, too.
The cats are all kind of scared here. But anyway, and before I leave, I did want to mention that all those in the Carolinas and the East Coast of the U.S. for Hurricane Florence, be safe. They're not fun to go through, and we hope that you'll be well. And that was...
That was Thor.
Exclamation point.
Anyway, folks, we appreciate your time. Those listening live, those listening archives. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.